We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Welcome. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
I'm very excited about this study that we're in. I'm very excited about what God's going to do through this study. I was talking to, if you were here on Sunday morning, you heard Pastor Allen say, the ladies are doing a study through the book of Zechariah. You probably didn't even know that that was a book of the Bible, Zechariah. How many of you have ever just sat and said, I'm going to read the book of Zechariah? No. How many have you read the book of Zechariah not for this study? Ooh, look at you. I'm so impressed. You probably know more than I do about this. But I am very excited about what God is doing through this book. In fact, I was talking to one of the pastor's wives this week. We were talking about our Bible studies, and she's getting hers started up. And she said, "What are you ladies studying?" And I said, "We're going through the book of Zechariah." She goes, "Oh, well, I've never heard of a women's ministry doing the book of Zechariah." I was so encouraged by the time I got through praying with her. So I am excited about what God's going to do with this. So why is it so important that we do this book of Zechariah? Because Zechariah has the most mentions of the Messiah in all of the minor prophets. In fact, Zechariah is also known as a little Isaiah. So it's a miniature Isaiah in that. And by the way, in your books, if you don't have them open to page 13, there are notes for you on page 13. The book of Zechariah, the first eight chapters allude to the temple, and they encourage the people to complete the work in the temple, to complete the work on the new sanctuary. As they build the temple, they are building a new future, hence the name of our Bible study. They are building a new future because this very structure is going to be used by the Messiah when he comes to bring salvation. This very structure that they are working on is going to be used that way. Zechariah speaks of God's covenant faithfulness toward Israel, his covenant faithfulness toward Israel through the work of the Messiah, especially in chapters 9 through 14, when you get there. This book outlines God's plan for his people. You know that God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for his people. This book will outline that plan that we have by God, and it outlines that plan during the times of the Gentiles and until the Messiah comes to deliver them and reign upon the earth. The book outlines God's plan for his people during the times of the Gentiles until the Messiah comes, to deliver them and to reign on this earth. It's all outlined here in the book of Zechariah. This hope of glory provides that reassurance to the Jewish remnant at a time when life was tough. These who had been exiled out of Israel have now come back. Do you know how confusing it is when you move? Anybody else, does that do anything? You know, when we moved from our little tiny offices here, we moved into our new tiny office, our new offices over here, and we moved on Thanksgiving week. And you know, we got into life. Life goes on. You keep going, but you're just disoriented. And I think I've told you guys before that was a trick that they used during times of war. Say, for instance, that someone came in and they took over the United States, or they took over California and they took over Mexico. They would go in and they would move everyone from Mexico up to California, move everyone from California down to Mexico. Why? Because it disorients people. It disorients us, and it causes us to just not think clearly. So they were going through some tough times. They're coming into a place where this temple has been laid in ruin for 12 years. They've been trying to put it together for 12 years. But Zechariah wants to promote in this building a spiritual revival so that the people will call upon the Lord with a humble heart that is committed their ways to Him. To call upon the Lord with a humble heart and that they would commit their ways to Him. That is the heart of Zechariah, and we're going to get a little more into that. Now, what are all those passages that refer to Jesus or that refer to the Messiah? I'm glad you have your pencil and paper out, because we are going to go over that, and I happen to know that in your homework, one of the questions every day is, where do you see the Messiah? Where do you see Jesus in these portions of Scripture? So I'm going to try to read them slowly enough so that I don't have to repeat them for you, and I hope you will be able to get them. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Messiah is referred to as the angel of the Lord. In chapter 3, again, verse 8, and in chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, the righteous branch. Chapter 3, verse 9, the stone with seven eyes. Chapter 3, verse 9, the stone with seven eyes. In chapter 6, verse 13, the king priest. In chapter 9 and 10, the humble king. Chapter 10, verse 4, the cornerstone, tent peg, and battle bow. Cornerstone, tent peg, and battle bow. Chapter 11, verses 4 through 13, the Messiah is known as the Good Shepherd who is rejected and sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. The Good Shepherd who is rejected and sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. In chapter 12, verse 10, the Messiah is known as the Pierced One. In chapter 13, verse 1, the Cleansing Fountain. Again, in chapter 13, verse 7, the smitten shepherd who is abandoned. The smitten shepherd who is abandoned. And in chapter 14, the coming judge and righteous king. The coming judge and righteous king. The whole chapter. Okay, so remember, Zechariah's message is one of encouragement to the people. We talked about the fact that it had laid in ruin. They were dedicated to rebuilding the temple that had sat unfinished for 12 years. But he was aware that not all of the people who had come back had a heart for God. Do you know that in the church today, not everybody who comes has a heart for God? What? 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 How has that happened? What are they doing here? All different reasons. But they're here because God wants to change their hearts. And that's the same thing that happened right here. They weren't all fully sincere in their desires to serve God. So he counseled them to do two things. Repent of your sin, and return to God. Repent of your sin and turn to God with all their hearts and minds. Repent of your sin and return to God with all of your hearts and minds. The temple must be built because one day the Messiah's glory is going to inhabit it. But here is the key to this whole thing that we're talking about today. Here is the key phrase. If you don't get anything else, please get this and write it down. The future blessing is contingent on present obedience. The future blessing is contingent on present obedience. The people are not only building a building, remember? They are building a future. And Jesus will say later on in the New Testament, he's going to say, this is the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, ladies, how are you taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit? How are you taking care of this temple? I'm not going to talk to you about what you're eating or how much you're sleeping or how much you're what kind of clothing you're putting on or anything. I'm talking about how is the upkeep inside the temple? Are you preparing a place for him? Do you have room for Christ? Do you allow him room in your own life? That's the thing that we need to be centering in on. With all of this as their motivation that they were building a future, they can press on with this building project with wholehearted zeal because of the promise of the Messiah. Because of the promise of the Messiah. Isn't that so exciting? Do you guys not get excited about that? It is a promise of the coming Messiah. Back then, they were being told about the promise of the coming Messiah, and they were excited about it. Do you know how much closer it is today that Jesus is coming for us? Jesus Christ is coming for his church. He is coming for us. He is coming for those who are looking and loving his appearing. He is coming for the ones who are watching for him to come. And I'll tell you, it is a lot sooner than most of us think. And we are, you know, many of us knew, I was not raised in a Christian home, but I've heard it said, and the scripture even says it, that my grandmother said Jesus is coming, and her grandmother before her said that Jesus is coming, and he hasn't come yet, but you know what? They said that Jesus is coming, and she said that Jesus is coming, and he said that Jesus is coming. Well, today, Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, and it's nearer than the day when we first believed. I am excited about what Zechariah has to teach us about that, that we are looking for his appearing, that remnant that was there building that temple. Zechariah wanted to make sure that their inner being was in a place where they were preparing a place for Jesus Christ, preparing a place for the temple, preparing a place for him to live. There was the song that Bill learned a lot of years ago, and Shannon, you might remember this one. I wouldn't try it because it's in Spanish, but not because I just have a bad voice, but I would ruin the Spanish as well. But it went... Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming for me. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming for me. The only thing I don't know is he coming for you. And that's what our question is. I know he's coming for me. But is he coming for you? And you can do that same thing back at me. I know he's coming for me, but I don't know if he's coming for you. We need to, in a group of ladies who get together for the purpose of studying the Bible, I've got something in me that says, yes, you are all saved. Yes, you have all made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You have given your life over to him. You have committed yourself to him. But I don't know that for sure. So I want to give every opportunity for anybody to receive Christ at any time. And so we just need to keep that in mind, because Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's coming for me, and I hope he's coming for you as well. Zechariah means Yahweh remembers, or Yahweh has remembered. Yahweh remembers, or Yahweh has remembered. It's very interesting to me that to see that Zechariah's prophecy practically ends, closes out the Old Testament. It's next to the final book, you know, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. That's how you memorized it, right? When Bill did that little song, didn't that just rhyme so well together? But being almost the close of the Old Testament is Zechariah's prophecy here. And the New Testament opens chronologically with the book of Luke. Now, we not like we have our New Testament now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but and that's a whole different study all on its own. But chronologically, it's the book of Luke that opens. And what is it in the book of Luke? It's Luke's account of another Zacharias, another translation. His name means Jehovah remembers. So it closes with God remembers, Yahweh remembers, and it opens with Jehovah remembers. And then his wife Elizabeth's name means his oath. He remembers his oath. So the New Testament, Zacharias was a priest who was serving at the altar of the incense when, you guys all know this story, I know you do, in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. He's standing at the altar of incense when an angel appears to him with a message from God after 400 years. 400 years of silence, and God is speaking a word to a man whose name means God remembers, who is married to a woman whose name means his oath. God remembered his oath, his promise to him. The Old Testament Zechariah was a priestly lineage as the son of Berechiah, which means blessed of Yahweh, and grandson Edu, whose name means joyous. So he came from a lineage that almost runs together, joyous, blessed of God, and God remembers. He was joyous, blessed of God, and God remembers. In the way that they name their children, it just is the way that God works in our life. With the joyousness, God shows us blessing, and he remembers that his promise to us was whatever it was to us. God has given you a promise. God has given you a word. I know everyone in here has a word from God. You go, oh, God's, you know, I don't do that. That's Pentecostal. No. But every one of you have a word from God, and only you know what that word is, because he's only speaking it to you. Hang on to it and let it move forward in your life. And so he was born in Babylon and was brought by his grandfather to Palestine when the first group of Jewish exiles, so he came with the very first group that returned under Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest. In chapter 2, verse 4, it's going to tell us that he was a young man when he was called to prophesy in 520 BC. So for those of you who love to write down the years and the numbers and keep all of those lists with arrows and all of that sort of thing, 520 BC. Now, in Matthew 23:35, we have a story or a telling of the death of Zechariah. There has been controversy in the commentaries that I have read about whether or not this was this particular Zechariah. After reading all of them, I am convinced that I am talking about this Zechariah that we're talking about tonight. And in Matthew 23, it indicates that he was murdered between the temple and the altar in the same way that an earlier Zechariah was also martyred. Now, the account of that earlier Zechariah is in 2 Chronicles 24, 20, and 21. So be prepared to read that on your own so that you can keep up and you can make a decision on whether or not I was I was convinced about the right thing, because you're going to be studying in that. Zechariah was a younger contemporary of Haggai, the prophet. Haggai began his prophecy 2 months before Zechariah did, so that they were ministering at the same time to the same group of people in the same area. But Zechariah would continue to prophesy well into the reign of Xerxes in 486 through 464 BC. Now, you know who Xerxes is. You might know him better by the name King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus was the one who had everything, and he was the king of Persia. He was in a drunken party that he had put together. His queen Vashti refused to come in and show herself to the group that was there. He banished her from his sight, never to be seen by him again. After he got his senses back to him, he was sad that he had done that because he had loved her so much. But now he couldn't repent. He couldn't turn around because he had made an edict that she would never come there again. And so in God's providence, that's how Esther got into the kingdom, became queen of Persia, and saved her people. That's how that all came together, and that all came together during the time of Zechariah. All of this tied together with Haggai, Zechariah, and in even into the book of Esther. The historical setting for chapters 1 through 8 is 520 through 518 B.C., and like I said, it's identical to that of Haggai. Work was resumed on the temple in 520 BC, and the project was completed in 516 BC. In case anybody stops you on the street and asks you, you will have that answer. You never know when that's going to happen. Now, chapters 9 through 14 are undated, but it's believed to be between 480 and 470. You remember that Zechariah was a young man, so Haggai would already have been probably most likely passed. But Haggai was the practical guy. In fact, J. Vernon McGee said Haggai was the one who had the measuring tape out there. And he's going, okay, we go this far, and we go this far, and this goes here, and this goes there. He was the practical one. Zechariah was the visionary. Now, how many of you know how practical a visionary is? My daughter laughs, because I know firsthand how practical a visionary is. But look at this. He put these two together, a practical one and a visionary who ministered at the same time to the same people because they needed both of them to get the whole picture. You see, you needed the practical guy to get the things built. You needed the visionary to be able to work on the inner being of the people. And so it's important that we see that we are all necessary. It's important that we see that we are fitly joined together as the body of Christ. We all have a purpose. I spend a lot of time wishing I was like somebody else. Oh, I wish I could do it the way that they do it. I wish, you know, I am convinced that someday my house is going to be clean. I'm convinced that someday it's going to really happen. Every room in there is going to be clean. It's probably going to be at my funeral, but because somebody else cleaned it, but it's going to be clean. I wish that I had that. I am organizationally challenged, and I want to be really organized. I want to be, this is probably too much information that I'm giving out. I want to be like those people who have a place for everything. I look at things and I go, it surely should have a place. It should. But I have no idea what that place is. So, but I want to be like somebody else. But I don't realize I need other people. I have a gift that other people need, and they have a gift that I need. We are fitly joined together. That's what Zechariah and Haggai were like. So God had them ministering together to the same people during the same time to give clarity and get the practical work done, i.e. the temple. was meant to be rebuilt. And then Zechariah would be the one who gets them together spiritually. So for a people who were newly returned from their exile, Zechariah provided specific prophecy about two things, about their immediate future and their distant future. He will give them specific prophecy about their immediate future and their distant future. Doesn't that give you hope when you have someone who tells you something that you can believe in? Someone who encourages you, yes, call unto the Lord, get closer to the Lord. He's going to do these great things. The Lord's coming back. You get that encouragement. That's the same kind of encouragement that he was giving. Their nation would be judged for their sin. We see that in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But they would also be cleansed and restored. Chapter 3, 1 through 10. And I love this. God would rebuild his people right in the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 7 through 17. Now, I looked at this and I thought, that just looks backwards to me. Aren't they supposed to be cleansed first and then you get rebuilt and then the judgment? And doesn't that have to go in a different area? But I see now that just like Zechariah was doing, he was rebuilding the temple. He was rebuilding them. The people needed to be rebuilt. They were broken down. They needed to be rebuilt again so that they could deal with their sin, so that they could look and see that they needed to be cleansed and they needed to be restored, so that when the time of judgment came, they understood that it was a choice that they had made on what they were being judged for. So it does all fall into place. God has a plan, and he puts it all together. So Zechariah concluded his book by looking into the distant future, first at the rejection of the Messiah by Israel in chapter 9 through chapter 11, verse 17, and then at his eventual reign when Israel will finally be delivered in chapters 12 through chapter 14. So, this book contains its share of judgments on the people of Judah and beyond that. But here's something else that it overflows with. It overflows with hope. It overflows with hope. I want to encourage you ladies to come to our retreat this year. You know what the retreat is? Hashtag hope. That's our theme. Hashtag hope. Hang on. Hashtag hope. God gives us that hope. He directs us in that hope. It overflows with the hope in the future reign of the Lord over his people. It's really easy for us to get caught up in the tough things that are going on. Anybody else do that? I try really hard not to listen to the news before I come in here on Tuesday mornings. Because I can come in here with, oh, it's so bad. How will we ever survive? Did you see what happened there? It's all horrible. There's nothing good anywhere. And you know what? We tend to lose our perspective and we live as a people without hope. And God has called us to something more. What is hope? It's in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And we need to hang on to that. The book of Zechariah serves as a correction for our tendency to lose hope, for our tendency to live a life that doesn't look like we are people of God. We have a hope that is sure. So, how about if we all do our homework? How about if we all dig into this book together and find out what God has for us during the time that we're in the book of Zechariah? And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that you have ministered to us. We have heard the things that you wanted us to hear. I am thankful, Lord, that I am not responsible for what people hear. I am so thankful, Lord, that you speak to their hearts, that you speak to them, Lord. You fill them. You are the minister to them, Lord. I am so thankful for the presence of your Holy Spirit here. I thank you, Father, for the awareness of your presence with us. Father, we pray for our country. We pray, God, that you would deliver us from evil. Lord, that you would cause us to repent and to turn around and to walk in a way that is worthy of the calling that you've called us to. Father, that we would be women who stand up when we need to stand up for something, Lord, and that we keep quiet when you tell us to keep quiet. Lord, that we would be women that you see, you look at us and you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, Lord, give us strength as we walk through. I pray for these ladies, Lord, that they would have strength to walk in a world, Lord, that the enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour, Lord. Keep us aware of your presence with us, Lord, knowing that we are protected by you. Lord, that when the hard times come, that we can depend on you. When the hard times come, life is hard. It's probably not going to get any easier. Lord, we know that you're the one in control. We know that you're the one that we can give our lives to, surrender our lives to. And Lord, that you are going to do great and mighty things as we study your word, as we seek after you, as we just trust in you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, as the ladies get into their small groups, Father, that they would be encouraged by one another. Lord, that your name would be lifted up in their conversation. And Lord, that they would seek your face as they have this time together. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.